Now, since your new album is about divas, I want to just sort of throw out a few names of divas and sort of get your one-word reaction, sort of get your impression of various singers. So when I say the name Adele, what comes to mind?
Mm-hmm. Young singer, good singer.
Alicia Keys.
Young performer, good writer, producer.
Taylor Swift.
Okay, great gowns, beautiful gowns.
What's up, guys? What's up? It's me, Justin. We are back with another new episode. New week, new guest. Okay, not a new guest, but it's a new week, a new episode. At least we have that. Thank you guys for being here, honestly. It means a lot that y'all tune in every week, that y'all like the show. If you are new to this show is all about bringing together different perspectives. Usually I like to record with somebody that's a different gender from me, somebody with a different cultural background, somebody overall who's different from me, because I feel like our differences in a way inform our opinion. So with this episode, I'm recording with Ukiro, and Ukiro was born and raised in Nigeria. I was born and raised in America. So with those two different perspectives when it comes to our upbringing, it'll inform our opinions when it comes to Black is King. So more on that in a second. So you guys, subscribe. This podcast is a Black business. If you're not subscribed, make sure to subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Make sure you're following on Spotify. If you truly feel compelled, make sure to leave 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Leave a review if you feel even more compelled. I love to see it. Thank you guys for supporting, and feel free to follow me and my guest. All of our ads or whatever is going to be linked in the description. So y'all feel free to reach out to the show, to ask me questions, to get in touch, all that good stuff. I really do appreciate all of you guys reaching out. So, like I said before, Ukiro is joining us. Ukiro,
my guy,
how are you?
Spirit,
let the oceans open.
The oceans are about to open for real, for real.
This episode, y'all, before we even start, let me just tell y'all, like, we have a lot to get through on this episode. So I'm going to be trying to get through these topics as quick as possible so we can devote as much time as possible to the main topic. But this is a meaty episode, y'all.
Hopefully this episode will help us find our way back.
Find your way back. Find your way back.
Yeah.
Don't leave
no
me.
No pun intended.
Don't leave me.
Don't leave me. Man, but how are you? Tell the people who you are if there's any new listeners that haven't listened to any of your previous episodes.
Right. My name is Ukiro, and I am Nigerian-born, current American alien. I choose the word alien, but because international students actually have alien numbers. Google it. I'm not making it up.
Wow.
And I'm an international student here in America. I went to school at UT with Justin. I think maybe I'm a year ahead of you. I guess.
No, we're the same age.
Wait, are we the same year? Yeah, we both graduated, right? Okay,
yeah.
Cool. He just never came around to the
cookout. Ukiro just looks, he just looks older than me, but he's not.
But we're actually the same age. Yikes. And
yeah, I know, right?
What else is there about me? I did film at UT. I'm about to do my master's at USC to do film. It's official.
Woo!
I mean, I'm going to.
It's happening.
It's happening. We're going to take out those student loans, and
it's worth
it. The government
it.
Wasn't able to kick us out because y'all showed out. Thank you for signing petitions. Thank you for asking the government to do better. They weren't gonna. I don't think they were gonna do it. But like, it was kind of nice to see people like kind of like show that kind of momentum. So thank you for that. I look forward to this episode because I have a feeling I'm going to anger. Maybe I might piss off some people. I might not. I don't know. Like last time we talked about this topic, a lot of people like I got some DMs. Not a lot, but just like some DMs as well about like people's thoughts, and it was very interesting. So I look forward to it. I'm an image maker and I'm a storyteller. So I bring a little bit of like film knowledge, like a film perspective and a critical perspective to things, I guess. I don't know.
It's interesting doing this episode with Ukiro again, because last time as we were talking about, we weren't sure if he was even going to be in this country come this time. So
oh my
the fact
God.
That he's here is a miracle.
That
so.
Is a word. That is a whole, that's a truth.
That's the truth. Because I promised that you would come back without even knowing whether or not your status, you know, would allow you to still be in this country. But hey, you know, the listeners signed the petition. Mm-hmm. Like, they did what needed to be done for you to remain in this country. So we have a lot of thanking to do.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. For real, for real. It's wild being an international student. We should do an international student episode. Justin, when are you going to do an international student episode?
Yeah, because I'm not an international student. So that's a different perspective right there. Mm-hmm. Hey. More excuses to bring you back on the show. Oh, God. Oh, goodness. But let's just get into Off My Chest.
Justin's got a gift.
It's off his chest.
You know he's got a gift.
It's off his chest.
Justin's got to get some fucking shit off his chest.
All right. So if you guys don't know, Off My Chest is a segment where we get to rant about stuff that we just, you know, we need to yell about. This week, I have some stuff to yell about. Conspiracies. Conspiracies, conspiracies, conspiracies. This week for me has been all about seeing conspiracies being spread all over the internet. There's this Nigerian medical doctor named Stella Emmanuel. I don't know if you've heard of her, Ukiro.
She's actually Cameroonian, but then she went to school in Nigeria.
Okay, never mind. See, she's a medical doctor, and she believes in a lot of conspiracies. She's controversial. She was telling people that we can have like sex with spirits in our dreams and stuff. Really wild stuff. So I will insert a clip here so y'all can hear some of the wild things that she says.
I'm Dr. Stella Emmanuel. I'm a primary care physician in Houston, Texas.
This Houston woman, now in national news, thanks to COVID-19 claims like this.
There is a cure for COVID. It's called hydroxychloroquine. I know you people want to talk about masks. Hello? You don't need masks.
Dr. Emmanuel here has a large number of baseless claims. She has hailed hydroxychloroquine as the so-called cure for the coronavirus. Yep. The Daily Beast has also identified her as a pediatrician with a history of making, quote, bizarre claims about medical topics and other issues, often claiming very questionable things.
Sex is a spiritual transaction. So when you're doing it by yourself, demons come and join you. When you're doing it in the right way in marriage, God watches over it.
And yeah, she said those things. So my thing is that with the age that we're in now, I don't think there's any time for us to have conspiracies. And Trump, I don't know if you heard, but he plans on banning TikTok. Did you hear about that?
I heard about that.
Trump is trying to ban TikTok. And it's interesting because he's banning TikTok because apparently, I guess, China can have access to a lot of Americans' information. That's what he claims. I don't know how true that is. But he wants to ban TikTok. But my thing is that we have a problematic app that a lot of people use. A lot of Africans are on WhatsApp. And WhatsApp is responsible for, you know, disseminating a lot of conspiracies. And a lot of these Africans out here are believing them.
That is true.
Whether it's, you know, 5G waves, whether it's microchips that the government is apparently trying to put in us, whether it's, you know, leaving hot water in a car that causes cancer. Like, people are believing a lot of this stuff.
I think I got that same exact hot water in the car cancer thing. I have a feeling I got it too.
Am I being overreactive by saying that WhatsApp needs to go, that it's been disseminating false information that a lot of people are believing?
That's crazy. I think WhatsApp needs to stay because of the encryption thing, but I think they need to figure out a way to do fact checking. And I don't know how, but it's the tech people. They're going to figure it out.
Twitter does it. Doesn't Twitter, if you like tweet something that's false, they'll say, hey, this is a false thing. Why doesn't WhatsApp adopt those things?
Okay, maybe it's because it's encrypted. Because people can't, like, that's why WhatsApp was very key to the Arab Spring and some of the other revolutions that have happened in places revolutions have happened. Sorry, I can't think of any other country or region other than North Africa. But what the governments, that's why the government, what they would do is they would shut down. They would just shut down Facebook, and then it's like WhatsApp. They can't see the messages. Or I think it was like people were saying, don't share your ideas or your thoughts on Facebook because you could get arrested. And then people went to WhatsApp, and that's when the government finally shut down the internet. It wasn't an East African region. I can't remember exactly where, but when that happened, was it? It was probably Sudan, South Sudan, the conflict that led to the birth of a new country. But WhatsApp is very. It's good. I mean, it's how I keep in touch with my family back in Nigeria. We crack a lot of jokes. We stay in touch and everything. It's good for that. But the false news, sometimes I'm worried about my parents because they're educated. But, you know, Africans are, or, well, West Africans, the much I know, are kind of superstitious. So some of these things kind of can affect them.
Yeah, it taps into that stuff. I remember one time I was talking to my mom. She's like,
5G. It's discussing Corona. I was like, no, it's not. No, it's not. So she's, and then we just had to like all gang up on her and tell her that WhatsApp, a lot of those things that she's reading is fake. So I think she eventually did delete the app. So
oh, for real?
I'm having an effect on my parents. So y'all do the same. If you have parents that are on Breitbart and all these fake websites, tell them that that stuff is biased, that it's not real, that it's
the Blaze.
A lot
is
of it
the Blaze? Breitbart, the Federalist, that's what it's called.
Yeah, all of those problematic right wing, and not even all like right wing stuff, even left wing stuff, some of it is crazy too. So y'all, I always tell y'all, think, open up your mind, listen.
Question,
you know,
things.
Not everything is what it seems.
Yeah.
And also, I need to say something else too. Do you know Herman Cain Ukiro?
Is he the black guy who died?
Yeah, the black guy who died.
I don't know anything about him.
Herman Cain, the former presidential candidate who tested positive for coronavirus 9 days after attending President Trump's rally in Tulsa last month, has died. Local health officials had pleaded with the president to cancel the rally, where Cain appeared without a mask.
The Trump Tulsa rally. I was there.
Well, Herman Cain was a, he ran for president in 2012. He's a Republican, conservative black dude. He has a lot of money. Anyway, so he's one of these people that have been out here peddling this by wearing a mask. It's impeding on our rights or whatever.
Okay.
So he's been on that BS.
Okay, so that's why some people are saying he deserved to die. I saw that, which is kind
of... Oh, is that what they were saying on Twitter?
Not on Twitter, but on Facebook. You know, that little... You know, that African, you know, it was just that, you know, that energy. It's not literally he deserves to die, but it's like, that's what you get for Tampa Bay not to wear masks.
Well, I'm with them. Monique said it best. When you do clownery, the clown comes back to bite. And the clown bit his ass because now he's dead.
See, when you do clownery, the clown comes back to bite.
Obviously, I care about people. Obviously, I know that, you know, we respect, you know, the dead or whatever. And obviously, Corona and anybody that's lost their life to that, my heart goes out to them. And I'm sorry that passed away. But my thing is that when people are telling you ways to protect yourself.
Wait, did Corona kill him?
Yeah, he died of Corona.
What?
Yeah, so it's ironic because he's out here telling people that masks are infringing on our rights. He didn't wear a mask at the Tulsa rally that Trump had, and he was shaking and dancing at the Trump rally. There was pictures of and video of him dancing without a mask on and stuff. And then the clown came back to bite, and now he's dead. So my thing is that y'all are free to believe whatever you want, but there's consequences to the stuff that you do. If you choose to not wear a mask, a consequence could be that you end up dead. I'm just saying. He's 74 years old. 2020 is the year of revelation, in my opinion. I think that a lot of people are being exposed. A lot of things are coming to light, and all of us are able to reckon with the things that we've accepted for too long. One of those things being celebrities are infallible. Celebrities
True.
Are perfect.
Yeah.
Celebrities do not make mistakes.
Yep.
And one of our very beloved celebrities, her own reckoning is here.
Who?
Ellen DeGeneres is being exposed, everybody.
This morning, Ellen DeGeneres apologizing, writing in a letter to her talk show staff, "On day one of our show, I told everyone in our first meeting that the Ellen DeGeneres show would be a place of happiness. Obviously, something changed, and I'm disappointed to learn that this has not been the case, and for that, I'm sorry." It comes just days after a source close to the production confirmed to NBC News that anonymous reports alleging a toxic work environment led Warner Media to launch an internal probe into the award-winning daytime series. Earlier this month, BuzzFeed first revealed allegations of a toxic workplace culture and overnight published a new article alleging incidents of harassment, sexual misconduct, and assault from top producers on the show.
Ellen, we've been hearing rumors during this whole quarantine about Ellen's character. People that used to work for her saying that she's not as nice as she paints herself out to be.
Right.
Obviously, if y'all have listened to the show, I've talked about the hypocrisy that Ellen displays on her show, especially when she decided to like befriend George W. Bush
right.
and say that it's okay to befriend people with a difference of opinion.
But during the game, they showed a shot of George and me laughing together. And so... People were upset. They thought, why is a gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to a conservative Republican president? But a lot of people were mad, and they did what people do when they're mad. They tweet. Here's the thing. I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have. We're all different, and I think that we've forgotten that that's okay that we're all different. But just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean that I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone.
That was BS to me. That was complete.
It's BS. Yeah, on the BS. Surface level, yes, of course, people of different views should be able to coexist, of course. But George W. Bush is a different thing in itself. He's somebody that, you know, knowingly, you know, use false information to start a war in order to profit from that. And that's wrong. A lot of people lost their lives because of that. George W. Bush was somebody that advocated against LGBT rights, the same LGBT rights that Ellen enjoys to this day.
Right.
So to me, it's like, how can you befriend somebody that actively tried to oppress you? That doesn't make any sense.
And my thing is, when people say the whole thing about, like, you can be friends with someone who doesn't agree with you or whatever it is she said, my thing is, have you checked them, though? Because that's the thing. It would be different if you bring out your friend. You're like, yo, my friend has been a terrible person in the past. They're not the same person. We've talked about it. This is what we've talked about. And then your friend talks, apologizes, talks about what they're doing to redeem themselves, which, you know, again, it's just something that's going to affect other people positively, but it's not going to change what they've done to other people negatively. But that kind of action from celebrities is what I'm looking for in this talk about I wanted to befriend people who don't agree with me or do not see things the way that I do.
I don't know. I just, ever since that moment, I just began looking at Ellen a little bit funny. I've always been the person that I've never, like, worshipped or praised celebrities. I don't care. Y'all listen to the show. Yeah. I always say it all the time that celebrities are just people with a lot of money.
Yeah.
They're flawed, if not more flawed than us. And a lot of times they're out of touch with society. Obviously, there was that clip that circulated about Ellen when she said, oh, let's quarantine. It feels like jail.
One thing that I've learned from being in quarantine is that people, this is like being in jail is what it is. It's mostly because I've been wearing the same clothes for 10 days and everyone in here is gay. The jokes that I have.
Oh, Lord.
And a lot of people got mad about that because she was in this huge mansion.
Yes.
What does she know about jail?
I remember.
Read the room.
I remember.
Read the room. You know, all this stuff coming out about her not being a nice person is not a surprise to me. There's this famous interview that she did with Dakota Johnson, and it was pretty awkward.
Yes, I watched it. I really enjoyed Dakota. I like Dakota. I like her.
Anyway, the reason I brought up Dakota Johnson is because she had this awkward interview with Ellen when she came on Ellen's show. Apparently, Dakota had reached out to Ellen to invite her to her 30th birthday party. Ellen didn't come. And then on her show, Ellen tried to, like, play it off, and it was just really awkward.
How was the party? I wasn't invited.
Actually, no, that's not the truth, Ellen. You were invited. Last time I was on the show, last year, you gave me a bunch of about not inviting you, but I didn't even know you wanted to be invited.
Well, who doesn't want to be invited to a party?
Well, I didn't even know you liked me.
Of course I like you. You knew I liked you. You've been on the show many times, and don't I show like?
Yeah. But I did invite you, and you didn't come, so.
This time you invited me?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
How do you know? I don't think so.
Ask everybody.
But I think it's important that this is happening because
people
are waking up. People are waking up that police brutality is real, that black lives do, in fact, matter.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are also waking up to the fact that celebrities, a lot of them, ain't it.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner that people wake up to that, it's going to be better for us all. So she apparently is keeping a toxic work environment. Apparently, she's rude to the people that she works with. Apparently, I read stuff that said that she tells people not to look her in the eye and that she doesn't talk to anybody once she goes backstage. A lot of, like, weird and, you know, sad stuff that you wouldn't expect to see from somebody like Ellen, somebody that paints herself out to be this kind woman. She has that slogan, everybody enjoy your day and remember, be kind to one another. It's like, practice what you preach. And it's just sad because a lot of people aren't what they say they are. And
2020 kept us in our houses and made us, you know, start looking inward. I think it's one of the reasons why we're finally, like, asking questions that we should have been asking a long time ago. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because a lot of people, there's rumors circulating that she might end her show.
Really?
She came out with a statement that, and it was BS. It was probably written by her publicist. And I don't know. You know me, Ukira, I'm not a fan of those written statements.
Me neither.
If you're telling me something heart to heart, I want to see your face as you're addressing me say that. That's why whenever Drew Brees had that whole controversy where he said that he doesn't believe that people should kneel for the flag,
right.
I respected him a little bit more because in his apology, he released a written apology and he also released an apology where he addressed the camera face to face. That means a lot to me because that shows that you're opening up yourself and not hiding behind your publicist's words.
I 100% agree. I don't believe apologies should be written. Isn't the point to avoid all appearances of not really being behind what you're really saying? So isn't good PR really coming out and saying something? You know, I'm not talking about white people coming out and apologizing for slavery. That's a different thing. because a lot of that happened, you know.
Give us reparations.
Wait, what is that video? What was that thing that they said repeatedly? You remember the video where they were like just Hollywood actors?
Oh, yes. So Ukiro is talking about this video that a lot of celebrities released, and it was like, I take accountability. I am responsible.
I take accountability.
I take responsibility.
I take responsibility.
I take responsibility.
I take responsibility.
I take responsibility for every unchecked moment, for every time it was easier to ignore than to call it out for what it was.
I was like, who are you acting for?
Shy.
Like, this is not a monologue. This is real life.
Jesus.
Stop with all this performative BS. Stop.
Oh, man.
Ellen, I don't know. So I don't know if you like Ellen. I don't know if you're going to continue watching her show.
No,
how does this change things for you?
I'm indifferent about her, to be honest. The only gift I feel like she gave me was that kid who liked the father of Lisa Bonet. What's that guy?
Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny, you remember the kid Lenny? Yeah, that's my favorite thing that she's ever done. But the rest of her show, I mean, her show is cool and everything, and she gives gifts. I like the thing where someone comes out of a box and scares people. I like when Justin Bieber was scared.
I would hate that. Because
yeah.
y'all, I'm the most gullible person.
Oh, for real?
And when somebody.
I can see that.
Man, but you brought up Lenny Kravitz. When I think of Lenny Kravitz, I think of the song Fly Away. I want to get away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to fly away. If you know, you know. That's what I'm saying.
I like that song a lot, too.
That's random, but anyway. Yeah, we addressed Ellen. So, y'all, look at your celebrities. Look at the people that you hold dear to your heart. Hold a magnifying glass up to them and see if they're really about what they say they're about. We're about to get into our discussion about Black is King. Before we do that, though, I need to address something. I need to address the issue of white mediocrity. It must be addressed. You guys know I favor certain artists, and there's some artists that I really don't care for.
Mm-hmm.
One of the artists I happen to not care for is Taylor Swift.
Taylor what?
Taylor Swift.
What did you call her before?
I don't know what you heard, but I said Taylor Swift.
I heard Taylor Thrift.
Nah.
What are you doing there? You know
what? I don't know. Get your ears checked.
You people heard what he said. Or this guy.
I don't like her.
You ain't slick, nigga.
I don't like her. And reason being, you know, Taylor Swift, let me just say this. She's talented.
Right.
She's a great songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
She has the ability to play an instrument or two.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you can't take that away from her. But it's interesting because, you know, she has won Album of the Year twice. Only another woman, Adele, has done that. Both under controversy, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, whenever I was watching Black is King, Taylor Swift came to mind because she just recently released an album called Folk Tales, Dragon Tales, whatever it's called.
Leave her alone now. she's trying. I like Taylor Swift, guys. That's why.
Oh, great. Here we go. Why do you like Taylor Swift? I really want to know what makes her legendary. To me, there's nothing legendary about her for her to be like held in such high regard, you know?
I don't hold her to high regard. I like some of some specific songs of hers. I even have a cover that I've not released of her song called, what's that song? We're Never Getting Back Together. I like Wildest Dreams. I love Bad Blood. I like the remix with Kendrick Lamar. I like most of her old stuff. When she would play with the guitar, you know. I like the song she had called Crazier on that Hannah Montana film that I really, really loved. So that's the Taylor Swift I liked. There are specific white female singers that I appreciate. Taylor Swift is one of them. Lana Del Rey. These are literally problematic people because of like how they've been positioned. But their music is just like, I can't help it. When Lana sings, I just want to, you know, just, you know.
You can like whoever you like. I'm not saying that don't like these people.
But I don't think they're mediocre, though, all right? Do you think because you said white mediocrity, and I'm like, Taylor Swift, she's excellent, though.
The reason why I bring up white mediocrity is because there's a lot of black artists that push the envelope, that break barriers and boundaries.
True. That is true.
And they don't get rewarded the same way Taylor Swift does. Had Taylor Swift released the white version of Lemonade, she would have won Album of the Year. Beyonce releases the best work of her career, and she doesn't win. She loses to Adele's more inferior album. 25 was not better than 21, and it wasn't better than Lemonade. It should not have won Album of the Year. I think that when it comes to the debate over To Pimp a Butterfly versus 1989, I don't know. I think that because I'm black, I'm more biased towards the hip-hop album. But if you look at it for what it is, 1989 is pop perfection. Yeah. And this is coming from somebody that does not like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Shake It Off. The haters gonna hate. I'm just gonna play. Yeah. I'm just gonna shake.
1989 was amazing.
That's pop perfection.
Yeah, it was perfection, 100%.
And
true.
I will be honest about that. That album had, you know, a lot of great constructed pop hits, and she wrote, you know, the majority of those songs.
Right.
And I think that the credit goes to her on that.
Right.
So that debate about whether or not she should have won versus Kendrick Lamar, I don't know. To me, Kendrick Lamar's album was more experimental.
Yeah.
It pushed boundaries more.
Facts.
I don't know.
That's the only Kendrick Lamar. I don't listen to hip hop, but that's the only Kendrick Lamar album I've listened to from beginning to end. And I restarted and listened to it again on my way to get my haircut. It's amazing.
Not to say that Taylor Swift is mediocre, but a lot of white artists are overly awarded for work that is inferior sometimes to black artists.
That
and
is
I don't
true.
Think that's fair.
That is true.
Taylor Swift releases music, and I don't think that all of it is the best, but she continues to get, you know, all these huge nominations and wins.
Right.
She's won Album of the Year twice, and Beyonce has never won. Kendrick Lamar has never won.
Right.
It doesn't make sense, you know?
And you know, I think it's because of the larger thing at play. I think if 1989 and what's it called? Sorry, if 25 and Lemonade were to be released in 2021, we know how that's going to go down because people are more aware of their biases and everything. So I think it was.
Do you think so?
I think so.
I don't think so because that wasn't that long ago. Beyonce lost for Album of the Year in 2017. So you're saying in the span of 3 to 4 years that the industry has just awoken and now they understand? I don't think so.
I'm saying that confidently because I know that what was happening in 2016 with the black community, people didn't pay attention as much as they paid it in 2020. So I think enough time has passed. Some people who have seats at the table who don't really fight for us have left. Black Panther hadn't come out by the time Lemonade had been released. Just so much that hadn't been made. And so the conversations that have been started in the black community, in the general community about like, isn't it time to finally like acknowledge the lack of acknowledgement of blackness in the industry.
That's sad. Do you realize that you're saying that and it's 2020 going into 2021? Like, that's not good. We're supposed to be past this stuff. At this point, we're still saying first black this and first black that. At what point are we finally going to wake up and give people, you know, the credit that they deserve?
Yeah, I mean, I want it all now. I just know that I can't have it all now because... And the reason is because I've had enough experience. You've had enough experience as a black man in America to see... It's just not, it takes a while. I mean, I was at a protest and I was speaking with a dude who, funny enough, was trying to not say he was white. He said he's Italian. I'm like, yeah, but that, you know, that's white, right? And that sounds about white, right? And then he talked about how he lived in Tulsa for 5 years in Oklahoma. He had he never heard of the Tulsa riots. He heard about the Tulsa riots last year, 4 years after he moved from Oklahoma. And when you think about that, you think about the fact this dude was in the freaking Tulsa riots central. Did not know about it. So I just feel like things are happening better now and the potential for someone like Beyonce to win, even some people like Chloe and Halle to win Album of the Year. It's possible now. Lucky Day, Giveon. Like these people can win Album of the Year now. Finally.
I think you're giving the industry too much leeway. If Adele can go up there and win Album of the Year for 25 and on stage acknowledge that her album is inferior to Lemonade.
Yeah, I remember her doing that.
Yeah, she said, Beyonce, your album is so monumental. The Lemonade album. The way that you make me feel, the way that you make my black friends feel is empowering, and you make them stand up for themselves.
And the way that you make me and my friends feel, the way you make my black friends feel is empowering, and you make them stand up for themselves.
Y'all know I can go on forever, but anyway. Like,
I loved what she said to Beyonce. That was well deserved. And Beyonce was just like, no, oh man.
And she was crying. And that still to this day pisses me off. She's like, I can't possibly accept this award, and I'm very honored and very gracious, but the artist of my life is Beyonce.
Oh my god.
And
dude,
the Lemonade album
you're
was...
actually getting me teary-eyed. Oh my god.
Don't even...
No,
don't...
I'm serious. I'm getting teary-eyed. I'm not even joking, like, right now. I remember, I watched that video.
Myself, but I can't possibly accept this award. And I'm very humbled, and I'm very grateful and gracious, but... my artist of my life is Beyonce, and this album for me, the Lemonade album, was just so monumental. Beyonce, it was so monumental.
Because the fact that Adele, I was happy that she did that, because imagine had she just got up there and accepted the award as if she deserved that. That's some BS. Because I promise you, if I ever win a Grammy or an Oscar and there's somebody out there that deserved it more than I do, I'm going to say, you should be up here, man. You deserve this award. You gave the, you know, better performance.
Right.
I love you.
Right.
But yeah, and Macklemore should have done that, because Macklemore accepted that Best Rap Album award as if they deserved that.
LMAO. If you want to talk about white mediocrity, we can talk about Macklemore.
Yeah, honestly.
I mean,
because Kendrick Lamar, he should have a couple Album of the Year wins.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree, man.
I don't know. But this is not all of y'all that are Taylor Swift fans out there. I'm not like hating on a woman. I'm just trying to point out a discrepancy in ways in which people are awarded. I'm trying to do it fairly. I talked about how 1989 was pop perfection. It's true.
Yeah, it was.
You know?
It's like
what other single was on there? Wildest Dreams.
Let's get out of this town.
Oh, right up to the city.
Right up to the city.
Heaven can't wait for me
now.
It's so good. It's handsome as hell. It's so good, and you love me so well.
Karaoke session, bro. We got it. See, you even know the lyrics. Look at you, hypocrite. Justin knows the lyrics.
Hey, look at you. Look at Ukira trying to put words in my mouth. Never did I ever say that I don't know Taylor Swift's music.
So you're giving her streams, and you're saying that she's white. Why weren't you listening to Only Lemonade? Hey,
we need to
revoke your card, your black card.
No, I'm stuttering now.
I have caught you.
Everybody that knows me knows that I'm very familiar with music and pop culture.
Right.
So to say that I'm a hypocrite, don't even start. Because if you start, I'll finish it. Don't even start.
Wait. If you start, are we gonna have bad blood?
Uh-oh.
Hey, don't leave me.
Because now we have bad blood, and now we got problems,
hey,
and I don't think we can
solve them.
You made a really big cut, and whatever the words are. And now we got bad blood.
Hey.
Hey, and I just wanted to let you know that Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm just letting you know, Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes.
This is so fun.
But that basically wraps up everything that I need to say about white mediocrity and Taylor Swift. She's a great songwriter. She can play instruments,
yeah.
But sometimes she's not deserving of all of the praise that she gets.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still a great artist. She's not a legend, in my opinion, but
yeah.
That's a conversation for another day.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I brought her up is because I was thinking about that because she recently released Folklore and Black is King was released. And I was like, look at Beyonce making a whole movie about Africa. And what has Taylor Swift ever done to push the boundaries and do something different or shake it up? You know, nothing comes to mind.
Wait,
so,
to shake it up?
Uh-huh.
She made a song called Shake It
God.
Up, bro. Like, was that intentional?
She said shake it off, not shake it up.
Oh, okay, shake it off. Okay, cool.
Yeah, she says shake off the haters, not shake up the system.
Oh.
There's a distinction there.
Oh, okay,
there's
cool.
A distinction, yeah. But Black is King, let's talk about it. So Kiro and I, we had a whole episode on it about a trailer. This time around, we're having an episode about the actual content in question. Everybody, Black is King has arrived on Disney Plus.
Hmm.
People have loved it.
Come
People
on.
Have hated it.
Come on.
People have some things to say.
Come on.
Let's listen to the trailer in case y'all haven't heard it.
Life is a set of choices.
Does your father know you are here?
Lead.
I'm laughing in the face.
or be led astray.
Run away and never return.
Follow your light. Or lose it.
You can't wear a crown with your head down.
The question is, who are you?
Don't know what take my bow up. My bow up. My bow up. Don't know what take my bow up. My bow up. My bow up.
So y'all heard it, Akiro. I feel like you owe Beyonce an apology. I'll just say it flat out.
Guy. I'm not like all these celebrities that don't know how to apologize, okay? This is what people probably tune into this episode to hear. Beyonce, Granella, Griselle? Beyonce, Griselle, no.
Giselle.
Giselle, sorry. Beyonce, Gazelle, if it's my African... I'm joking. Beyonce knows, listen, man. I am sorry that... Justin, why are you very quiet?
Because I don't have anything to apologize for.
What do you mean?
I remember specifically on the episode that you're like, this vision of Africa. I don't know what Beyonce is trying to portray. I kept telling you.
I still stick to that.
And I keep telling you, watch it. Watch it and then come back and have a full opinion about it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Let me, first of all, I just want to apologize. I just feel like I said what I said, and I said that if her intention is to do this thing, Beyonce's intention, I think she succeeded in it, and I loved Black is King. I enjoyed everything about Black is King. That was amazing. I have my reservations. I have my critique of it that you will hear. But bro, that was that movie. I don't even know. Like it was 10 over 10. Like it made me happy. It made me feel good in the beginning, actually, because I just loved that beach scene, you know, where she's walking towards
me too.
Because for me, I was breaking down Black is King from a filmmaker perspective, and I was just like, bro, this is excellence. Like, what is... Baz Luhrmann has nothing on this, you know? And I love Baz Luhrmann's interpretation of... what's that movie, Leonardo DiCaprio? The Great Gatsby.
Uh-huh.
Great Gatsby is one of my favorite movies. Yeah, so, like, Black is King, to me... was like excellent, man. So yeah, that's how I feel. I'm sorry, Beyonce. Okay, I said it. I'm sorry, Beyonce. I'm sorry. I did too much, but I still have thoughts.
We can apologize when necessary. My first impressions of Black is King, I watched it at night, which is recommended.
I feel like you get the full
experience when you watch it at night. I was, you know, taken aback at the beauty of it as well. It was beautifully shot. It was like it's more of a musical than a movie.
Agreed.
A lot of people are calling it a film. I call it a musical because it's taking storytelling elements and intertwining it with musical elements. It's kind of like a hybrid music video with some storytelling in between to like get you through everything. And I really did like it because I was one of those people that enjoyed the Lion King, The Gift album. I was just taken aback at the beauty of it. I thought that the storytelling elements were great. The colors were great.
Yes.
So basically what Black is King was, this is just my opinion on what it was. It was just her taking the Lion King album and the African collaborators that she worked with and giving a showcase to it while telling a unique imaginative story with futuristic elements.
Period.
That's what Black is King
Period.
Was to me.
Yes.
And I think that she accomplished that goal. It was beautiful. It was heartwarming. It was artistic.
Yes.
And I think that this is a bold thing to say, but I believe that it was more ambitious than Lemonade.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me just say that.
Because she had to leave her comfort zone with Black is King in terms of like a culture, right?
Yeah.
You know, and because you think about Lemonade. Lemonade paid homage, I'll not say that word, but to Southern culture.
We're going to start again. You've brought the orchestra. Synchronized swimmers. You're the magician. Pull me back together again the way you cut me in half.
That Nestle, like, just general Black culture. So that was even still some comfort zone kind of business, right? Black is King, to me, is probably, like, this is crazy to say given my opinions that I still have of it. It's probably my favorite film now. Like,
I didn't know what to expect when I went into it. I went into it, you know, seeing all the trailers. The trailers looked interesting. And watching it, I was like, you know, this is really compelling stuff.
I did not know Black is King was based on Lion King.
Oh.
I had no idea.
You thought it was an original thing completely?
I thought it was an original thing. And then even if it was, because the font was similar, so I kind of thought, okay, maybe it's a Lion King, like, something, like a spinoff of something from that story. But I didn't realize it was literally, like, it was Simba and Scar and, mm-hmm. and Mufasa. It was that story. That is why it's my favorite film.
That's interesting. And I have to admit something, and a lot of listeners are going to be shaken up about what I'm about to say. I have never seen Lion King, the original animated one? Version. Okay. Yeah, I've never seen that.
Okay. I'm going to leave now. I'm going to leave now.
Am I un-American for that?
No.
Because I know people, I have one of my listeners I was talking to, she's never seen Titanic. I feel like that's more un-American than never seeing Lion King.
No, I think it's more un-American to not see, because Titanic wasn't made by freaking Disney. I mean, come on, bro, Lion King? Bro, I feel mad. I'm mad at you, man. I'm actually
really
thinking, yes, bro. What, you didn't see?
I mean,
no, bro. You didn't see part one, part two, or part three? Okay, have you heard any of the songs?
I know Hakuna Matata.
Okay, do you know?
I know Circle of Life.
Wait, so you don't even know? Have you heard "I Can't Wait to Be King"?
And I just can't wait to be king.
Dig a tunnel, quick before the hyenas come. Now that's a favorite. No. That's my favorite song. So I'm pissed that you don't know that song, man.
I don't know that one.
Yeah,
I've never seen Lion King. So all of this reverence that everybody has for the Lion King is confusing to me because I've never seen it.
I feel you, though. I haven't seen Star Wars, so I understand.
And I don't care to see that either.
I've seen like 8 minutes of Star Wars when Anakin met his future wife, which was kind of weird and pedophilic.
Yeah, people, you know, I think that you should give things a chance, but you know your taste, you know stuff that you gravitate towards, and yeah. Star Wars is not one of those things for me.
It's white people playing samurai.
I don't know. I'm not going to say all that because they're not going to cancel me. Not me on my show. Not me. But yeah, I've never seen Lion King, so I don't have all the reverence that everybody else has. So I was really going in blind to watching this. Yeah, this Black is King. I think that it was a really great film. I'm interested to know what people that don't like it think.
Yeah.
I know that No Name, who is a musician, she's been saying a lot of stuff about Beyonce lately, and I don't know what her deal is.
And rightfully so, you know. I think I like what No Name said.
Okay, so Ukiro, read what No Name tweeted on Twitter that had a lot of people talking.
Okay, so No Name tweeted, and I quote, "We love an African aesthetic draped in capitalism. Hope we remember the black folks on the continent whose daily lives are impacted by U.S. imperialism. If we can uplift the imagery, I hope we can uplift those who will never be able to access it. Black liberation is a global struggle."
That is annoying to me because...
Why? Why is he annoying?
It's annoying because so everybody that's trying to do something artistic, that's trying to, you know, show Africa in a positive light now has to be some kind of black liberation activist.
Okay.
I don't think that's fair. You're holding Beyonce to a standard that you can't even live yourself.
Yeah.
Is every product that she's using black owned?
Right.
Is she not using an iPhone to tweet out the nonsense that she's tweeting?
Woo.
Like... This whole notion that because Beyonce is a capitalist that she can't do anything good, that everything that she does is problematic in some way because she's a capitalist and nothing a capitalist does can inherently be good in any way, even if they're paying homage to Africa, even though they're collaborating with a lot of black artists to give them, you know, a voice and give them access to creative film that speaks to different parts of, you know, Africa, because it wasn't just Nigeria, there was South Africa, there was Ghana.
From my house to Johannesburg to Ghana to London, to Belgium, to the Grand Canyon. It was truly a journey to bring this film to life.
You know, what is the issue here? What is her deal with Beyonce? Because she always seems to have something to say every time Beyonce does anything.
Yeah, I think I would be interested in hearing what people... You know how, like, there's that thing that happens, the crab in the bucket syndrome that happens within the black community? I don't know if she's unintentionally, potentially tearing down another woman who is more successful than her. There's a part of me that just like, I don't know if I want to believe that just because of what all the parts of No Name's politics. But one thing I like about No Name is that she's also unapologetically imperfect. That's one of the things I like about her. I asked you what annoyed you about what she said, because I will say that I agree with everything she said. My original issue with what she said was her using Twitter as a platform to say that, because it's so easy to get on Twitter and type. What is hardest to do is to have a whole video and just tweeting this without nuance.
Maybe Twitter is a good starting point to start the discussion, but if you want a further and honest discussion, you need to...
Do more. It can't just be that. And she's tweeted some other stuff. She tweeted the article that was written by Essence Magazine. Mm-hmm. And I read that article, and that article was low-key... Well,
tell us what the article pertained to, in case anybody didn't read that article.
The article from Essence was... still about Black is King, and that article was talking about why we must be careful when watching Beyonce's Black is King. And I read the article, and I also kind of had some issues with the article, Loki. But this thing you brought up about Beyonce does not owe this. I did some research yesterday, or just kind of like scouring the internet for like what people are saying about Black is King. And I love what you said, because someone said this: I take Beyonce for who she is, a tremendous talent, a beauty, a proud Black woman with unfathomable access and privilege, a proud Black woman figuring it out, doing some things excellently, falling short in other ways, a capitalist. I take what I like from what she offers, I leave the rest. Black is King is a stunning celebration, not a liberation guide.
Yes.
Black wealthy celebrities aren't here to save us from this system that serves them so well, and they won't. We save us.
That's the thing. We're all imperfect. We all have good qualities and we all have bad qualities. If Beyonce is doing something good, take the good. If Beyonce has problematic elements to her, leave that part too. If you want to have a separate discussion about how she's a capitalist and how she can be exploitative in many ways, that's a separate discussion, and you're welcome to have that. But if the discussion is Black is King, what that meant for Africa, what it did for other people, let's have that discussion and take that for what it is, because, you know, you can't, you know, have it both ways.
You can't see it for its full picture. I know what you're trying to say, but I don't think I wouldn't say it that way. I would say, and I could be wrong, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but I would say take Black is King and celebrate it while you criticize it, while taking account of the larger dynamics at play. Make it a systematic conversation and not a Beyonce conversation.
Beyonce is a rich woman. Beyonce is pretty. Beyonce is very successful. A lot of people are envious of those things. Mm-hmm. Whenever Beyonce does something that anybody can pick at, they find anything to pick at it.
I agree.
Nobody, that's the thing. This whole Black is King thing is teaching me another lesson. It's teaching me that you can be perfect, you can do everything right, and still you're going to upset people. People aren't going to like it, and that's just life. I can be the nicest person. There's people out there that are going to say, oh, Justin, he's annoying, I hate him. And that's okay. Not everybody's going to like me, and not everybody's going to like the art that you make. Yeah. And I think that's an example with Black is King.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that love it. There's a lot of people that don't like it.
And I think good art does that. I think good art should polarize. I think if people walk away from your art piece and they don't have, there's no divergent opinions, did you really do anything? Like, if everyone agrees
that's
with
true.
What your art
that's
piece
true.
Was.
I want to create something that gets people talking. But I don't like people being critical for the sake of being critical. I understand that nothing is perfect. Things can always be improved. Because there's no such thing as perfection, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Whether that's the films that you're making, you always want to get that perfect shot. You're always thinking to yourself, man, if I had just angled the camera this way or got the lighting just this way, you know, I would have got the shot a little bit better. There's no such thing as perfection. We can strive towards it, but we know that there's no such thing as perfection, and that's okay. You know, art is subjective, and, you know, people are free to have their opinions, but I have a problem with people being critical in order to be critical.
I agree.
At things with an open mind. I'm willing to hear criticism just as long as it sounds valid to me, because you know when people are just trying to pick something apart just so they can be a contrarian and just so they can have the one opinion that differs from everybody else.
I personally critique Beyonce with a view to also asking myself questions as an artist, as an African artist who is interested in diaspora work. It would be different if I was interested in Nigeria-focused work, because if I was, I'd be like, I don't have any opinion. I'm very interested in diaspora work. My biggest critique of Black is King was, I watched Black is King with my friend who's Cameroonian, and he had a problem with the fact that the Cameroonian artists didn't get as much show as Pharrell. Pharrell was literally singing his part. And I can understand maybe it was a production scheduling issue and whatever, but then it makes you question as a Cameroonian or as just like someone who wasn't included. It's like, well, how were you able to pull off this big production and everyone else's part was included except mine? What question? Because that's a question I always ask when people talk about lighting Black people or why Black people aren't featured in this or that. And I'm like, how did you make your decision making? Because I've seen a movie budget before, had to create one, and it's like you prioritize some things over others. So whatever you did in that production and called Black is King that did not prioritize that Cameroonian artist in that song that Pharrell was featured in or produced is questionable. But that was not even my biggest critique, and I only knew that because I was watching it with my friend who's Cameroonian. My biggest critique of Black is King was that Judena does not have anything to do with this.
No, I think that as a fan, you're reading into it too much. I don't like this opinion because you can say that about anything. Tell me why Kelly Rowland was in it, but Michelle wasn't. Anybody can make the argument that I should have been a part of this, you know?
I actually created something when I had a moment to reflect, and I thought about the fact that a year ago during Black Homecoming at UT, I made a short film that went viral on Twitter and Facebook and all these places. And there were people who made videos about it and tweeted. There was a lot of hate pushed my way. If you guys don't know the video that I'm talking about, is the video where in the voiceover I said, and even though we're like a predominantly white institution, we got to experience what it would have been like to be in an HBCU, even if just for one evening. And people were like, what are you talking about? You don't know what it's like to be in an HBCU. Like, you know,
obviously.
And I was like, that's what I said in terms of simile. Like, that's a simile. That's a comparison I was saying. And so, like, if anyone, not to sound self-aggrandizing, but if anyone understands that, like, I understand that, like, how it must feel now to have put out this great work of art. I literally said, Black is King was perfection. There's literally nothing wrong with the film. 10 over 10, like 100 over 100.
Well, I'm upset because people, before it even came out, they saw a trailer and they put their thoughts.
By people,
into
you mean me?
Yeah, you included.
I didn't see the full trailer and I said that.
Yeah, that's not fair. Y'all saw a trailer and ran with it. Y'all said, look at what she's trying to do with Africa. When you watch it, it had nothing to do with that at all.
I worked with a diverse group of very gifted directors and actors and creatives from all over the world to reimagine the story of The Lion King. The narrative unfolds through music videos, fashion, dance, beautiful natural settings, and raw new talent.
I mean, it kind of did, but not in the way that we thought.
Yeah.
I literally thought she was about to make a film that was based on like some African something.
Yeah.
And
mystical
and then
Africans.
She was
going to
use fashion. Yeah, you know. So, I mean, the entirety of, I mean, Lion King is based on, people have different ideas of where it's based on, but I know one of the things it's based on is Sundiata of Mali. Mm-hmm. It's like a myth. It's like one of Africa's most popular mythologies that people tend to not know about, but it's kind of based on that too. It's very similar to that. Maybe a white man stole it or something.
You can't judge a book by its cover. We always say that in our day-to-day experiences, that somebody might look a certain way, but get to know them and they might prove you wrong. Why didn't y'all practice what you preach? This is what this episode is about, practicing what you preach. Y'all didn't do that. Y'all saw a trailer. Y'all had your preconceived notions about Beyonce.
I couldn't help it.
I know. And I know it's hard to do, but based on what she's shown you in the past, you're going to expect that that's what she's going to give you for this. But I told y'all, wait, let it come out and then form your think pieces. Do whatever you want to do, but, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. I don't know. Art is subjective. I think that, you know, people are free to have their opinions, but don't be critical just to be critical, because anybody can do that. Like, even with the stuff that you produce, you know that, you know, sometimes it's not perfect, but you have people out there that are going to be critical of it without even like watching it, and that's not fair to you as a filmmaker who wants to produce something and wants people to watch it and enjoy it.
I feel like also people feel like Beyonce can't tell a story about Africa because she's not African. And I think that's wrong. Her ancestors are African, right? We can't deny that, literally. We could try, but then we can't. However, I will say that I feel like white people have made so many movies about Africa that have been so terrible. And the one time a black person makes a movie about Africa, the one time, because Black Panther, yes, it was about Africa, but it was about the Avengers and space and stuff, you know, and it was interesting.
And it was about Wakanda.
It was about Wakanda, which was a fictional country and all that. So the one time a black person says, hey, let me make this thing, and then we're out here hating. I don't believe I hated. I criticized, I had issues, I had reservations. I was scared that another poor portrayal would be put of Africans, because Insecure, for all I love Insecure, still did that with the one time to showcase a Nigerian or an African. He's like, all the stereotypes you could, like a negative stereotype. I forget what it was about him, because I think it was so traumatizing for me, I put it somewhere that I don't want to remember.
Right.
But I just feel like it was glamorous. Black is King was glamorous, and we've been wanting that, and it's finally done, and then we have issues with it.
Well, there's a whole issue with critiquing black art. A lot of people think that the fact that there's not a lot of us that get to tell our own stories the way we want to, that any
time it has to be perfect.
We do it, it has to be perfect, and we can't critique it. That's not true, and I think that's actually more harmful to us, you know?
Yeah.
I think that it's good to like get a foot in the door, but also that foot has to be secure. You don't want to slip. Yeah. You want to be, you know, strong in your foundations as a creator as well. We're doing more harm by applauding you for being mediocre than we are for critiquing you to try and make you better, because that defeats the purpose of anybody stepping foot in their door if anything that you're producing is trash. That's not what we want. We don't want black trash.
For sure.
We want black quality. That's what we want. We also have to talk about people being scared to critique Beyonce. I know that she has reached this status in her career where she's a legend at this point. Whether you want to admit it or not, she is a legend. Yeah. When you reach this status, a lot of people are scared to, you know, call you out if they need to call you out. And I think that's dangerous. Everybody should be, you know, held to the same standard. It doesn't matter if you're Michael Jackson or Prince or Madonna or whoever. We have a right to critique you if you're wrong. We're harming you, in fact, if we're not being honest with you as somebody that enjoys your work. Criticisms help you, because luckily, you know, Black is King turned out the way it was. But if it was problematic and if it didn't portray Africa in the way that people liked, those criticisms that people are saying will help Beyonce for the next time she creates a project about somebody else's culture.
Exactly.
You know, it'd be harmful if we were like, yes, yes, to a problematic portrayal of Africa for the sake of Black representation. No. And that's why I keep saying I don't like representation for the sake of representation. I like representation for the right reasons. I like getting a job not because you needed to hire a Black person, but because I'm qualified and I'll add something to your workforce. That is important to me. Nobody likes tokenism. Nobody likes that, you know? So that's what we need to talk about too, because Beyonce is not above critique. And I'll say that as a big, big, big fan of Beyonce, that she's not above critique, and we need to get out of that mode of thinking.
Yeah, I agree with you. Beyonce shouldn't be above critique. I don't think anyone should be. Any human being should not. And even when you get to celebrity status, you probably are actually more susceptible to critique. I think the world is also learning how to relate with celebrity. Because when you think about celebrity back in the day was restricted to Hollywood. But now, you know, you have Instagram celebrities, you have influencers. Anyway, all of that to say, celebrities, no. I think we should critique them. We critique Elon Musk for naming his kid XXA something something something.
Right.
Right? So, celebrity on Twitter and celebrity on Instagram and celebrity on... Is there celebrity on Facebook? I don't think so. I think it's just old. Yeah.
I don't know who's on Facebook.
But then there's TikTok celebrities as well. Right? So,
Full circle moment, because TikTok, we said, is trying to be banned, and now we brought it back around.
A full circle.
We love that.
Circle of life.
Ain't no mountain high enough.
Is that what they say?
The circle of life. And y'all said I don't know Lion King. Shame on y'all. Shame on y'all. But yeah, I love this discussion because, you know, we covered a lot. We talked about celebrity. We talked about, you know, critiquing the people that we love. We talked about critique itself. We talked about art. Who can critique Black art? You know, so many things we covered on this episode. White mediocrity, Black excellence, so much.
I posted something on my Instagram stories. You might have seen it, about like questioning things. I was talking about African spirituality.
Yeah.
Because those people came out, the usual people came out with the way we Africans, especially specifically, let me just talk about Nigerians. The way Nigerians defend Christianity and just religion, like, bro, it's like, bro, y'all didn't even create this religion, or not create, but you know what, like, y'all are not the ones who like started it. So the way we defend religion is crazy to me.
But people aren't ready to have that conversation.
Yeah, people aren't ready because, you know, people coming up with images of Beyonce and the horns and everything, and I'm like, guys, African spirituality was not inherently satanic. You know why it wasn't inherently satanic? You know why? I know that, even though I wasn't there then, because we Africans didn't have a monopoly on evil.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
So how can you say then, you know? And people use Christianity to kill people because of the Crusades. Mm-hmm. People have used religion to do all kinds of things. Why are you vilifying your own ancestry?
And
why?
That's why that's one thing I wish we talked about earlier on in the episode. All these people coming up with Illuminati conspiracy theories. Beyonce is demonic. Y'all are honestly really crazy. Because if you watch those scary, like, analytical Illuminati videos that people post on YouTube, it's scary. And it's not real, by the way. Like, it's these crazy people that are so radicalized and they believe that everything is demonic, everything is satanic. Y'all are probably the ones that are satanic. It's like,
I actually like to think that Illuminati is real, just for like interest sake. Just it makes my life a little bit more high stakes than it needs to be. Because especially when they were in the pool and the girls lifted their hands and formed the triangles, I was like, that's interesting that shot is staying that long.
My god,
Illuminati. It was fun. I just it's it's just fun to think of it that way. I don't take it seriously. Exactly.
The triangle above Beyonce's eyes represents the demonic triangle of the 666 devil devil. Like, that mm-hmm. is the stupidest thing.
The devil
thing.
Devil.
The stupidest thing I've ever heard. Y'all, just read, educate yourself, stay off of WhatsApp, think critically. That's the lessons mm-hmm. for today, right?
And another question things, just question things. Question things. I want to encourage people to read. I want to encourage people to just read books about reading. Read books about thinking and start doing a thing where when you consume something, kind of ask yourself questions. Don't just consume it. Don't just be like a puppet, and don't just be like an absorbent yeah. sponge. Even after listening to this podcast, listen to some of the things we said. Fact check us. Like, go and yeah. be like, oh yeah, Justin, Ukira, what you said was actually wrong. Do that, because if you just leave, then you're not really, really being critical. You're not responding to what is being fed to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you're
being preached at.
Criticize everything, every single thing, no matter what it is. But the new iPhone comes out, critique. Just be like, let me question this thing.
Yeah, don't buy it. Capitalism won't kill me. Capitalism won't kill me. If my phone is working just fine, I'm not gonna get a new phone. No reason to do that.
No,
but I agree with everything that you said. Think critically. Don't just absorb information without thinking for yourself. And I think that's something that's really lost on society these days. But good point. Yeah, I feel like we wrapped it up pretty much, basically. Any last words before we close out the show?
I look forward to more conversations like the ones we have, Justin.
Yeah.
Like, where it's like, it's like, I have a feeling I'm about, like, this dude does not agree with anything I say, but I'm going to leave the room, and I'm going to feel heard, and I'm going to feel heard by him. And I can say, you know, I even like the fact that you say, I don't like that opinion, because then I can be like, yeah, well, work on your feelings about it, but here's what I think about it, you know. And it's and then we both leave respecting each other and educate one another. But I also like hope that people would be doing research. Just this is my encouragement to people, just read more. When people say read more, they use it as an insult. You know, when was the last time you read a book? Mm-hmm. But I'm like, no, for real, like, when was the last time you read a book?
Think about it.
One last thought. Everyone should read Bell Hooks, man. I'm reading a book called Men, Masculinity and Love. It's called The Will to Change. I recommend it to black men. I recommend it to all men, but I recommend it to black men specifically. That stuff hopefully will answer some questions you've had about life. And then there's All About Love by Bell Hooks, but I love Bell Hooks. That's the book I'm reading right now.
We live for recommendations, y'all. We love that. Yeah. But yeah, well said. I agree with everything you said just now. I have nothing to add. Basically, y'all heard what he said. Y'all heard what we said throughout this episode. Think for yourself. Y'all continue to stay safe. I really do appreciate all of you guys listening. I know I say that all the time, but it means a lot. Hopefully y'all are getting something from the content that I'm putting out there. As always, share this podcast with your friend. If you have friends out there that are like, oh, what podcast should I listen to? Recommend them the show. Like, tell them to listen to it, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. It really does mean a lot. Follow on Instagram or whatever if you want to do that. Links in the description. Yeah, Ukira, thank you for joining me this week.
Thank you. There was so much more that we could have said, man. But in the same way that Black is King cannot wrap up African history, we can't talk about all of it. So let's keep the conversation going, I hope, about art and critiquing of celebrities and everything.
Yes, I agree. Agreed. But y'all continue to stay safe. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Read. Please. As always, we will catch you guys on the next one. Y'all have a good rest of your week.